no further ado, our weekly appearance by the man, the myth, the legend, the man who wore the shortest snuggers in Celtics history, and also the man whose 32 hangs in the rafters of the Garden. Our man Kevin McHale joins us. And Coach, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Hope you're well, and hope geographically you are somewhere near one of your homes instead of traveling, because I saw you in studio the other night.
I am actually in Utah right now. I'm doing the game. I'm doing the Utah Bulls game tonight in Utah, and then I will be going out west to Scottsdale area and get a little golfing. So I got tonight doing the TNT game. So tune in; should be a good game. I liked them. I like Utah. Utah was my team last year that I thought would really make a big push. They play hard. They're a tough group. They have a lot of injuries. They're kind of going through the injury bug again this year. But I think once they get all the people together, that'll be a nice team. George Hill's a nice pickup for that squad, and I think they're a team that, you know, that. Again, they're not in that top upper echelon, but there's going to be a boatload of teams, boy, fighting for 6, 7, 8, 5, 6, 7, 8 in that Western Conference.
I hate to break it to you, Coach, but as much as you probably like being a studio guy, you are now going to be an analyst traveling the globe for the next 6 months, because we like you on the air and they seem to like what you're doing. So that's not going to be a flash in the pan, sir. After your stint with Charles Barkley and Marv, they're going to have you all over the globe like manure spread all over the place, and it's just going to be your travel time and our pleasure to see you on the air.
Well, here's the good news. I can say no, because I do feel like manure. Because I do feel like manure when I travel too much. So I'm going to try to keep it down to about one assignment a week. And a couple weeks, you know, you do a few more. But now I have fun. But Chuck was really fun to work with. I had a great time with he and Marv. And, you know, a lot of laughs. And Chuck's such a character. And so it was really fun. And I enjoyed the studio with working with Ernie on the NBA Tuesday night game night. And so it's, you know, it really is fun, and it's keeps you involved in the game and keeps you active.
Coach, how much prep work, how much time are you putting in for prep work? Is it something that you spend a day on, or what does that look like for you?
I start looking when I get my assignments. I just start watching the team play and watching the box scores. And then, like yesterday on the way down, you do some more prep work today, just kind of going over everything. And then, you know, and then once I go to the game, though, and when you're doing a game, you're there to really analyze that game. I don't like getting too bogged down in numbers and everything else that's happened, because every game in this league is a unique game. They're all different. They're not, none of them are the same. And how you played last night is not necessarily how you're going to play tonight. So I try to go in there just with, I prep on stuff, but I try to go in there with just fresh eyes and say, okay, boy, tonight, this guy's playing well. This defense isn't working. They've trapped the pick and roll, but boy, tonight that's not working. So they're going to plan B, and just try to give the people watching just an idea of what's going on, coaching wise, playing wise, and kind of running through everybody's mind that's involved in the game from a playing coaching standpoint.
Coach, you had that game last night. I don't know if you caught any of it between the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, but kind of two teams with mirror images, two guys that are standouts for each team, and then it comes down to the supporting cast. And you know, I said this about a week or so ago when the Rockets kind of faltered down the stretch and had three quick turnovers against Washington. They ended up winning the game, but I said that's something they got to clean up, because it's going to catch them if they're not careful. And lo and behold, last night, you know, they take a 7-point lead, and you're familiar with this. This team, as good as they are and as much offense as they have the ability to shut it off real quick, too. Last night, over 6 minutes without a point coming down the stretch, and they end up blowing a 7-point lead and losing to Oklahoma City. Two teams that are going to be in it in the West, as you mentioned, along with Utah and teams like that fighting for playoff positioning. Those are the games that you're going to look back at the end of the year and go, yeah, that's another one that got away that could have helped us.
Yeah, you know, when you get leads, especially, you know, when you're on the road and you get a chance to put a game away, you've got to do it. And it really comes down to, and really you try to remind the team of this, like it comes, there might be 3 minutes to go. You have a seven point lead, and you say, okay, guys, look, this is a three possession game. We get a stop. We're on defense now. They call a timeout. We get a stop. We get a hoop. We get another stop. We're up 9, and you're talking about a 2.5, and you know, you walk it in. It really just becomes 1 and 2 and 3 possession games, and you really gotta be really good in those situations if you're gonna win close games. And that 1 and 2 and 3 possessions aren't necessarily in the last 30 seconds of the game. A lot of times they happen 4, 5, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Sometimes they happen at the end of the third quarter. You got a hell of a run going. You're putting a team away. You say, guys, look at this next 3 minutes is this game. It's a 13-point game. We win this next 3 minutes at the end of this third quarter and jump this up to 18-19. Hey, they got a game. They played last night, or they got a game tomorrow. You know the coach is going to give it a little shot, then shut it down. Guys, this is the game right here. But you take that same 12-point lead and let it get to 7, and all of a sudden now the other team goes, hey, we got a chance to win this game. So there's so many different areas in the game when it's really in balance in the game that, you know, you got to be able to recognize that, and you got to be able to try to do everything you can to win those couple really, really key possessions. And last night, I didn't get a chance to, I was in Utah, and I didn't get a chance to, I watched the highlights, and yikes. What happened to Westbrook? He gets just mad. They're up 3, and he just hacked that one left-handed on Capella, on a man Clint late in that game. Yikes, that was a vicious dunk for a late game when you're just going to try to run the clock out. But I watched the highlights, and it just looked like they, you know, at a time when you really needed it, they just needed a hoop, a hold, and a hoop, and they would have put that game away, you know, with 5, 6 minutes to go in the fourth.
And you've seen that before. I mean, one from Westbrook. I don't know that there's anybody, maybe shades of your guy Kevin Garnett back in the day, that has that angry switch that he flips it the minute he takes the court. He doesn't care who his friends are off the court. And the angrier he gets, the better he plays, as opposed to Harden, who, for all of his successes, has seemed to struggle whenever he comes back into that gym in OKC. He's had numbers when he plays at Toyota Center against the Thunder, but when he goes back to OKC for some reason, it's not the same James Harden.
Yeah, he hasn't really hit his stride there yet. You know, and James is having a great year and really putting up phenomenal offensive numbers. But he struggled last night. And again, like I said, I only saw the highlights. It just looked like he didn't have his normal offensive game going. But, you know, it's funny, just that play, because I was watching the highlights. And, you know, Oklahoma City is up 3. They inbound the ball. And Russell just attacks the rim and dunks it. And you're like, you know, at that point, like, there's no reason to do that unless you're just, like, angry. Like he just attacks the rim and throws it down. You know, you hold the ball out.
You get fouled.
You shoot your free throws. Yeah, you shoot your free throws. But, you know, you run the risk of a charge. You're on the risk of a lot of things. But, you know, one thing about him, he just plays all out, pedal to the metal. And I really do admire that kid. You know, Russell just plays so hard that, you know, you got to like him. He makes mistakes in playing that hard, but hey, if you were going 100 miles an hour, you'd make mistakes too. But I do enjoy watching him. But again, getting back to your point, yeah, you know, you got to win those games when you're on the road. Those come back and bite you in the butt. If you're the Rockets, those things come back and they really they hurt you later on.
You and your guys are doing the game tonight for TNT, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Dwight Howard. A guy that looks like he's slimmed down a little bit, but at the same time seems to be playing pretty decent basketball for a Hawks team that's looking fairly good in the Eastern Conference in the early going. He looks slimmer to me, but he looks more active. And I was just trying to get your thoughts and takes on what you've seen of Dwight so far.
I like what I've seen of Dwight. I think Dwight just playing. I think Dwight doesn't have an agenda right now. I think he's just playing. You know, he's, you hear him, you hear some of the, words he's talking in some of the interviews, what he's saying. He's saying, hey, look at, my focus is on the defensive end. I got to control the backboard. I've got to block shots. I got to roll hard. Just all the things that right now is what he needs to do for that Atlanta Hawks team to win. So I really like just kind of his approach to everything. I think he's got a good mindset. He seems to be very happy with the being back home. And, you know, I go down to Atlanta to do the Tuesday night show quite often, so there's a lot of articles about Dwight in the local papers, and I think he's happy. And if you're for Dwight, that's a big thing. He never really fit in Houston. It was always kind of a strained relationship. It always felt like everything was kind of forced a little bit. But that being said, he had a couple of playoff runs. You know, when we went to the Western Conference Finals, you know, Dwight was actually our most consistent and best player during that run. James had phenomenal games, but he had some downs. You know, Dwight was just really solid, so he can still do it. I do think he's lost a little bit of weight, but I also just think he's in a good place. And, you know, he's at the point in his career.
Well, yeah,
he's so gifted that he, you know, that winning right now has got to be the only thing on his agenda.
I was going to ask you too, Coach. You think that just all the things he went through with the line in the sand in the locker room and the him versus James stuff took its toll to where he learned a lesson from that and said, look, it's great to just be starting from scratch with a bunch of guys that if I play my cards right and don't get into all that political stuff, it could be a lot more fun.
Yeah, no question. I just think Dwight really likes to have fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think he just said, "Hey, look, I went through a situation that you know he didn't enjoy. But again, you got to remember, he didn't enjoy his last year in Orlando. He didn't enjoy his time in L.A. He really didn't have a good experience to speak of in Houston. So he's there right now, and he's got. Eventually, you kind of say, "Well, I can't be everywhere else. At some place, man, maybe it's me." And I think he just said, "I'm taking the drama out. I know that he." Really reduced a bunch of the guys that he had around him for a lot of years, and I think he's in a good spot. I just everything I read and everything I hear and every, you know, from the people there around the team, you know, Dwight's just doing all the things that he needs to do to help the Hawks win games. And you know, once you're doing that and you're accepted for that, I think it'll be fine. And I do like their team. I think they you know, a couple of years ago they took the league by storm with a phenomenal regular season. And then last year they kind of came down to earth. And I think this year they're back playing at a very high level.
Hey, Coach, question for you. I've noticed a trend in Rockets games, and it happened again last night versus OKC. And it's happened a couple times in their last five games where they're scoring declines from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. They scored 32 points in the first quarter last night, 13 in the fourth. And that's not the first time that they've been held under 20 in the fourth quarter. It happened when they actually beat the Spurs earlier in the year. What is that? What do you suspect that's a product of? Is that just trying to get their legs conditioned for the offense that D'Antoni runs? Or is it a defense issue? I mean, what do you suspect is causing that?
Well, normally teams make adjustments. You throw 30-some points at them in the first quarter, and whatever you're doing, the coach, believe me, has said, we're not going to get beat by that. They've already proven they can get 32 and a quarter by whatever, high pick and roll, side pick and roll, fast break, whatever it is. You start ratcheting down your defense and saying, okay, we're going to take this away. And when they take things away, you've got to be able to adapt quickly, and you got to say, okay, you know, in the first quarter, boy, they were giving us the little pocket pass to the big, and then we were playing to the weak side. Well, all of a sudden, they take that away, or they switch, or they do. You know, they'll make adjustments, and then it really comes down to, you know, how do you adjust to what the other team's doing? And you have to have different prongs to your offense. It's really hard to say. Boy, if James is just going to have the ball all the time, they put two on the ball, and take him out of it, that you don't have any other option. I mean, then you've got to figure out how you're going to use Gordon. And D'Antoni's a really good offensive basketball coach, you know, so he'll figure this out. And how are you going to use Anderson? And what other lineups are you going to have that's going to create movement and good shots? And so normally when that happens, there's an adjustment period that the other team makes, and then how are you dealing with that you know, the games for the most part do get tighter, and by the fourth quarter both teams have kind of figured out what their best defense is, and usually that's one of the lower scoring quarters of the game.
All right, take your Rockets, ex-Rockets coaching hat off for a second. I have a question that we were kicking around in the studio. I asked the guys this morning, and I want to get your honest take on this. But watching that game last night and thinking about Westbrook and his crew, I said crew, and Harden and his guys, and if you were to choose one team or the other full roster, which one is more attractive to you as a coach and or general manager?
Wow, I you know what? I probably would go with the Rockets. I mean, as much as I love Westbrook and Oladipo's been playing well for them, there's a fall off there. I just think, you know, James is playing. Patrick's going to come back now. Hopefully, they get Demo back in some kind of, you know, get him back and then get him playing, get him in shape and stuff. But I think Anderson and Gordon and you know, I'm a big fan of Clint Capella. I think Clint's just going to get better and better. I think overall, the Rockets may have a better kind of roster to look at and say that you could do maybe a little bit more with that roster. But at the end of the day, it's hard to, like you said, you know, which team would I like to coach? It'd be hard not to say Oklahoma City in one way, just because, you know, Russell Westbrook is going to absolutely play every game like it's his last game, and there's something just fun about that. It is infectious, and I love that competitive spirit. There's not a guy with that type of just competitive spirit. You know, you look around the league, there's very few of them.
Well, what about the low post, too? I was going to say, with Steven Adams, Cantor's definitely not playing anywhere near not only his potential or his salary number, but I just think that, you know, you got a good young kid like Sabonis. Yeah. I like all the youth and the post opportunities with OKC, but I really like the three-point shooting that the Rockets have added with both Gordon and Anderson.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, I don't think... You know, right now you can throw the ball to Adams once in a while, but he's mostly going to score off of rolls and off of other people. But you know, he's a big tough kid, and you know, he bangs people around. Cantor's different. I think you can actually run some offense through Cantor in that low post and get something out of it. But you know, the low post game anymore, Joel, has just been. Man, it's gotten the way of the dinosaurs. Just Nobody uses it. Everybody uses the dribble, drive to get in the paint, collapse defense, kick it out, and you know, take a shot or attack the rim, get fouled or score in the paint. So, it's the game has really changed. But now, you know, I mean, they're two very similar teams in a lot of ways. And I mean, look at. I think both those teams are going to be fighting for that, you know, for those spots at the end of the Western Conference.
Well, Coach, I know other things that have gone the way of the dinosaur, like our golf games, but at least one of us will be playing. So I expect a full report on text on how you hit it, because I need to probably at least get to the range and start swinging the club again. But I'm jealous and always appreciative of you spending some time with us here in Houston, and we look forward to it each and every week. So have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us. As always, and everybody can catch Coach McHale tonight on TNT doing the Bulls Jazz game, and that's something you should tune into.
Thanks, guys. Take care.